All right, welcome to Shore Foundation Baptist Church. Everybody, please find your seats and grab a hymn book. Song 129. We're going to be singing with song 129 in your hymn books. Rock of Ages, song 129. 129 in your hymn books. Rock of Ages on the first. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin a double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown, and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. All right, everybody, good singing. Brother Matt, can you please open us up with a word of prayer? Amen. Next song is going to be song 130. Next page in your hymn book, song 130. Yesterday, today, forever. Song 130. On the first. Oh, how sweet the glorious message, simple faith I claim. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Still he loves to save the sinful, heal the sick and lame. Cheer the mourner, still the tempted, glory to his name. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never, glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. He who pardoned erring Peter never needs thou fear. He that came to faithless Thomas, all thy doubt will clear. He who led the loved disciple on his bosom rest, bids thee still with love as tender clean upon his breast. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. He who mid the raging billows walked upon the sea, still can hush our wildest tempest as on Galilee. He who wept and prayed in anguish in Gethsemane drinks with us each cup of trembling in our agony. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. As of old he walked to Emmaus with them to abide, so through all life's way he walketh ever near our side. Soon again shall we behold him, hasten, Lord, the day. But 'twill still be this same Jesus as he went away. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name.
All right, now for some announcements.
All right, welcome to Yeshua Foundation Baptist Church Sunday morning service. If you need a bulletin, please raise your hand, and the usher will bring one to you. And please do not judge my undershirt, okay? It says Yeshua Foundation Baptist Church. So there's that. Let's look at the verse of the week. It says Ephesians 4:26. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And that's a really practical verse. And, you know, if you are holding bitterness or grudge against someone else, just deal with it. Let go or confront that person, okay? Don't allow that, don't allow your bitterness for you to sin. Let's look at the inside page. We're on YouTube, Facebook, Rumble, and X. X has been going wild. I got over 100,000 views on, like, alcohol, so, you know, it's a really fun place. You know, it's a place full of retards, but, so please give us a follow there. We have service time Sunday morning at 11, Sunday afternoon service at 4, and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. We'll be starting, we just started the book of Acts, so this Wednesday we'll be in Acts chapter 2, talking about the truth about the Pentecost, okay? We believe in speaking in tongues as in foreign languages, but not speaking in tongues, okay? So we have soul winning time Sunday afternoon, this afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Please see Brother Stephen for the meetup locations, and we also post the address on our church group. We'll go soul winning for maybe an hour and a half, and then we have Saturday morning soul winning at 10:30 a.m. And we had a great time in Gary yesterday. We had 19 soul winners and 29 salvations. Praise the Lord for that. So we have officially broken 300 salvations of the year. So let's work on baptism. You know, hopefully we can get more people baptized this year. Upcoming events, we'll be meeting at a different location on Sunday, May 24th, due to the Indy 500. People, you know, the city will be shutting streets down. So we'll meet at a separate location. We'll have the morning service, lunch, and soul winning. There'll be no afternoon service, you know, once in a year, okay? So just for that Indy 500 Sunday, due to the rental restriction as well as the traffic. Also, next Saturday, we will not have our local soul winning time. We'll be going to IU Bloomington University for a college soul winning marathon. So that's next Saturday. Please scan the QR code and don't ask me what time, you know, to meet, okay? Scan the QR code, okay? RSVP and click register, okay? Do not ask me the location, just scan the QR code. we have Indy 500 Sony Marathon on May 23rd. We'll be going around the racetrack. We'll be meeting people all over the world. So that's a great time for soul winning. We have Gary on May 30, Chicago State on June 8th, and then we are going to St. Louis on June 27th. Lots of great events. Please go to our website as well as godresource.com for the soul winning events throughout the globe, because the earth is not flat, okay, throughout the globe. So, and then if you want to know how to be saved or needs to be baptized, please see an usher or myself after service. If you are a visitor, please fill out the card and drop it when the offering plate goes by. And we have no birthdays coming up. Any birthdays that I missed this month, like this coming week? No? All right. With that being said, let's sing one more song and then we'll take up the offering.
All right, next song is going to be song 150, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place, song 150 in your hymn books. Song 150, on the first. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. My heart is leaning on the word, the written word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through his blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. My great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. All right, ushers, can you please step up? Brother Stephen, can you please pray for the offering?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the church. Thank you, Lord, for everyone getting here safely, Lord. Just pray that you bless the tithes and offering. Please, to further the gospel in your hands. In your name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we'll be in Proverbs chapter 26 this morning. Proverbs chapter 26. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand and usher will give one to you. Proverbs chapter 26. We'll be reading the whole chapter. Proverbs chapter 26, the Bible reads, "As snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. The legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. As he that bindeth a stone and is slain, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the evil and rewardeth transgressors. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears, as a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death. So is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am I not in sport? Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips, and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Brother Eli, could you pray us to the service?
My Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be at church, and thank you for the soul saved yesterday. I ask you, Lord, to be with Brother Jesus. Teach your word. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. You are in Proverbs 26. It's a great proverb. It's also Proverbs of the day, okay? I had no idea that, you know, happened to hit on the Proverbs of the day. But look at verse 24. Proverbs 26, verse 24. The Bible says, he that hateth, dissembleth with his lips, and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. And the title of the sermon this morning is The Sin of Passive Aggression. The Sin of Passive Aggression. Now, what is passive aggressive behavior? You know, that is defined as an indirect expression of hostility, anger, or resentment rather than open conflict. It usually involves a pattern of resisting request, using backhanded compliments, procrastination, or the silent treatment to express underlying dissatisfaction while appearing compliant or innocent on the surface. Basically, passive aggressiveness is bitterness with manners, right? Hatred with a smile and anger in disguise. And there are people who never say what they mean. They will smile publicly, but they will attack privately. They will hint things online, but they will complain sideways. You know, they would withhold help. They will use sarcasms. They will never name the names, but everyone knows the target. But nobody can prove it. And this is passive aggression. Now, you go to Proverbs chapter 10. Go to Proverbs chapter 10. There are many people who have passive aggressive behaviors in our life, especially in the ministry. I would even say that many of us, including myself, exhibit some sort of passive-aggressive behaviors in some areas of our lives. So I want to preach this sermon to help you recognize some of the behaviors so you know how to judge righteously, as well as help you with your interpersonal skills, okay? So point number one this morning, the masked heart. The masked heart. Because many passive-aggressive people, they are hurt, they are offended, and they are envious, they are angry, but they refuse to admit it. So instead of, you know, confession, confrontation, they choose concealment. Instead of healing, they choose hostility, right? And the Bible actually talks about such behavior. You're in Proverbs chapter 10, look at verse number 18. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 18. The Bible says, "He that hideth hatred with what? With lying lips. And he that uttereth a slander is a fool." So verse 18 describes a person who is obviously offended by something, right? He hates something. He may even hate someone. He that hateth, you know, but then the Bible says he hides his hatred with what? Lying lips. So this is the person who says, "I'm fine," when they are really not, right? They may say nothing is wrong, but they are simmering on the inside. You know, they are hiding their hatred with lying lips. They will say, "I'm happy for you," but while being envious, right? They will say, "No problem, brother," while resenting the other person. Yeah. Keep a place in Proverbs chapter 10. Go to Proverbs 28. Go to Psalm 28. Keep a place in Proverbs chapter 10. Go to Psalm 28. Look at verse number 3. Psalm 28, verse number 3. Psalm 28, verse 3. The Bible says this: "Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts." They have a masked heart, right? You know, in their heart there's mischief, there's hatred, there's envy, but they speak peace with lying lips. That is passive aggressiveness, right? Let me read to you Jeremiah chapter 9, verse number 8. "Their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in heart he layeth his weight." These are passive aggressive people. Go back to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. See, passive aggressive people often avoid direct confrontation because they want to preserve their image, they want to avoid accountability, or they want to keep the leverage, right? They will be nice to you on the surface. They will try to befriend with you on the surface. They will wish you peace on the surface only with their mouth. But in their heart, they hate you, right? They will use you and they will deceive you. But when the resentment, you know, grows on the inside, eventually it will burst. And then it will become open slander. Go to Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 18. Proverbs 10, 18 says, "He that hideth hatred with lying lips," don't miss this, "and he that uttereth a slander is a fool." I don't believe these two phrases are disconnected, right? Because eventually the bubble will burst and it will manifest itself through, you know, slander, right? Maybe through sarcastic comments. There's nothing wrong with sarcasm, but some people are weirdly sarcastic to mask their wicked heart. They will use backhanded compliments. They will use subtle criticisms, right? They will even triangulate other people against you. They may never say your name, but everyone knows who they are talking about. They will never call you a pedophile. They will only say, "You seem like one." They will never call you a reprobate, but they will lump you with Jim Jones. But when being confronted, they will deny those claims and say, I'm not talking about you. After all, they never mention your name. So to them, you are just falsely accusing them without any evidence, right? Go to Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. Look at verse 24. Proverbs 26. Look at verse 24. The Bible says, "He that hateth dissembleth with his lips, and layeth up deceit within him." The word dissembleth means to hide under a false appearance, right? To conceal, to disguise, to pretend that not to be which really is. So the Bible is saying that a hateful person often hides behind pleasant speech, right? They hide behind their lips. Because the Bible says, he that hateth, he obviously hates something, but he hides that with his lips, right? Often using flattery, you know, statements like, you know, I love you, Pastor Thompson. I've been with the new IFB since the very beginning. I will never betray anyone. You know, these are deceitful people, deceptive people. And the Bible says, and he lays up deceit within him. This means this is not accidental. It's calculated. It's calculated manipulation. He lays up deceit. It's fully intentional, right? He plots it out. They are keeping score. They are storing offenses. They are planning subtle retaliation. They are creating a fake image online or something anonymous online just to stalk you or the burner accounts or whatever while fostering bitterness against someone else. And here's how to deal with those people. Look at verse 25, Proverbs 26, verse 25. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. The Bible says don't believe them. Don't believe their flatteries. Because passive-aggressive people are usually flatterers, right? The phrase speaketh fair means pleasant words, charming words, or, you know, agreeable words, right? They will go out of their way to signal loyalty to an influential figure just to go after someone they hate and want to destroy. The Bible says in Psalm 12, verse number 3, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse number 19, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Don't meddle with those people. Don't deal with those people. Look at Proverbs 26, verse 26. Proverbs 26, verse 26. The Bible says, whose hatred is covered by deceit, it's covered by flatteries, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. And their wickedness will eventually be revealed before the whole congregation, right? They will eventually reveal themselves. Everyone who has a few brain cells can see right through it. Only those people who are being flattered may not see through their wickedness, right? Go to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. So the Bible has a lot to say about passive aggression because the Bible is a psychological book, right? 1 Samuel chapter 18, look at verse number 6. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 6. The Bible says, and it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instrument of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul had slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. So they came back from a battle and the women were complimenting David for killing more enemies than King Saul. But notice, David was fighting for Saul. David was one of Saul's best soldiers, right? And you can compare this to someone who goes to a church and he's getting more people saved than the pastor himself. What would be the proper response of King Saul? Yeah, David is on my team. Praise God. I'm glad to have him. Amen. Hey, praise the Lord. This guy goes to our church. Look at how many people he's got saved. Right? That's the proper attitude. But look at Saul's response in verse number 8. The Bible says, and Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands, and what can he have more but the kingdom? So Saul became envious of David, but the envy and the bitterness didn't stop there. Look at verse number 9. And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand, as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it, and David avoided out of his presence twice. So I want you to notice that Saul was masking his hatred and envy. And he let that hatred stew for a while since he eyed David from that day and forward, but it didn't last long. The bubble bursted when he tried to kill David, right? That's passive aggression. and the ex-New IFB, they are notorious for being passive-aggressive.
Right.
Instead of rejoicing the Lord that we get so many people saved, they lie about us.
Right.
They slander us. They hate the fact that we have so many victories, right? They are envious of our successes.
Yeah.
Go to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Now let me give you some practical examples, because some of us may be doing the same things without realizing that. And in marriage, a masked heart looks like this. Honey, what's wrong? Nothing. Even though you are mad at your spouse on the inside, right? That's passive aggression. You know, that's not going to help your marriage, right? If you let the bitterness grow, because eventually it will burst into flames. And you can apply the same principles to any relationships. Don't let the anger, bitterness, hatred stew on the inside. If you can't let it go, talk to that person.
Right.
Amen. So I said point number one, the masked heart. Point number two, the crooked mouth. The crooked mouth. Now I mentioned this slightly on my last point, but I wanted to realize that passive aggressive people, they are calculated in what they say with their mouths. You're in Psalm 55, look at verse 21. Psalm 55, verse 21. The Bible says, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter. But don't miss this, but war is in his heart. They are vindictive, right? His words were softer than oil, yet were they joined swords. They are extremely vindictive, but they may appear calm on the outside. See, passive aggressive people have crooked mouth. They will use sarcasms, weird jokes, and vague booking to attack people. They may never bluntly attack someone, but war is in their hearts, right? They have plausible deniability, but on the inside, they are full of bitterness and revenge. Go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Passive aggressive people, they often have a crooked mouth, and they usually calculate what they say, so they will have plausible deniability. But God's way is directness, not sideway warfare, right? Look at Matthew 18, verse 15. Matthew 18, 15 says this, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone, not to everyone else. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. So God's way to deal with trespass is to go directly and speak honestly and seek resolution and keep it private first and pursue peace, right? Because if it doesn't work, you bring the witnesses, eventually you'll bring in the whole church, right? But the first step is to seek resolution, keep it private. But passive aggressive people, they do the opposite. They go sideways. They will hint publicly, right? They might even recruit other people, and they will communicate indirectly. The Bible says in Proverbs 25, verse number 9, debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another. So God says, go directly to someone who trespasses against you, but passive aggressive people, they go sideways. Now go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Look at verse 15. Matthew 22, verse 15. The Bible says, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any person, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Notice the way the Pharisees ask the question. It sounds smooth. It sounds calm. Hey, Master, I know you are truthful and always teach us what God says. You are not a respecter of persons, right? Flattery, deceit, but it sounds smooth. But so on the surface, what they say sounds right, but war is in their heart. Look at verse number 18. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? See, passive aggressive people, they often ask questions for damage and attack and not really answers, right? And if Jesus says, pay taxes, then the Pharisees might accuse him for siding with the Roman oppression. But if he says, hey, don't pay taxes, then they would accuse him for rebelling against the law of the land, right? So again, it's a catch-22 question, because war is in their heart. And, how does this look like in our daily life? Someone may praise you publicly or like behind the pulpit, but post nasty comments online about you, or posting anonymously online, right? And in marriage, the wife, sees the husband relaxing on the couch and says, wow, you are helping today. Must be nice to relax. But in her heart, she's full of war. Okay? See, that's passive aggression in your real life. Hey, by the way, if you don't like your husband relaxing after a long day of war, just talk to him directly. Don't use those subtle jab. Okay? So, hey, Pastor, you are such a man of truth and never fear anyone, so why are you afraid to address this issue? See, it sounds honoring, but actually baiting, right? Notice Christ's response in verse 18. Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? So Christ ignored the mask and he addressed the motive. Here's a lesson. Don't just hear words, learn to discern. Okay? And notice how Christ dissolved their hypocrisy. Look at verse number 19. Matthew 22, verse 19. Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, whose is this image and superscription? They said unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. So Christ answered the fools according to their folly, right? Lest they be wise in their own conceit. So a crooked mouth is a master of flattery, but they're also, master of vague booking. Now, personally, I don't think all vague bookings are wrong, and a lot has to do with the intent, okay? And I vague book in the sermon because I want to teach you some practical lessons and give you some practical examples. But passive, aggressive people love using vague booking to attack others since it gives them deniability, right? They want the target to know. They want their Facebook friends to suspect. But they avoid direct identification, right? And if being confronted, they will say things like this. I never said your name. You are making this all about you. I was speaking generally. You are way too sensitive. You should just roll with the punches. It seems very egotistical and self-absorbed because they have plausible deniability. See, if you can post about it, joke about it, and hint about it, and tell others about it, but if you won't tell that to the person, you are being passive-aggressive. The Bible says, go directly first, keep matters private when possible, speak truthfully, and seeking reconciliation, not people's reaction online, not getting sympathies from those people who are not even related to the situation online. Okay? So I said point number one, the masked heart. Point number two, the crooked mouth. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel chapter 13. Point number three, the silent dagger. The silent dagger. And silent dagger is hostility expressed through silence, withdrawal, coldness, omission, and so on. Because not all aggression is loud. Some of the worst attacks are inflicted without words, right? And some passive-aggressive people, they don't really talk much, but they'll give you cold silence. See, silence can be wise, but it can also be weaponized, right? And they will purposely withhold help. They will purposely withhold information just to punish other people. But the Bible says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not to him, it is sin, amen. Right? And you are in 2 Samuel chapter 13. Now the backstory is Amnon forced himself upon Absalom's sister Tamar. You will think that Absalom would be angry. Someone just forced himself upon your sister. You will think he will be mad, right? But look at verse 21, 2 Samuel 13, verse 21. The Bible says, but when King David heard of all these things, he was very wroth. And rightly so, right? Look at verse 22. But Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. Your sister was being forced upon, and you didn't even express your anger. So notice, Absalom gave Amnon the silent treatment. But is he really that peaceful? Let's keep reading. For Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. And this silence would eventually become murder, right? Now, I think King David should put Amnon to death, you know, at that time, but he didn't. But Absalom, you know, he shouldn't take the law into his own hands because, you know, David is the king, right? But Absalom was silent for a long time. Look at verse 23. And it came to pass after 2 full years. Absalom gave Amnon the silent treatment for 2 full years. And, you know, he was silent for 2 full years. That's a long time. And passive aggressive people, they tend to hide in silence, sometimes for a while, but eventually they will strike. Look at verse 28. Now Absalom hath commanded his servants, saying, mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not. Have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant. And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man gat him up upon his mule and fled. See, the Bible has examples of all sorts of people. Eventually, after 2 years of this silent dagger, silent treatment, it becomes murder, right? And, you know, that's why if you have hatred or bitterness in your heart and you refuse to let it go or, you know, confront that person, eventually you will explode and the result is destruction. So don't be a silent dagger. Go to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. Let me give you, some modern day examples of the silent daggers, okay? And this is very popular in marriage. The husband gives the wife silent treatment for 3 days, a week, 2 weeks, right? You know, the wife withholds physical relationship from her husband as a punishment. That's a silent dagger. By the way, that is wicked. You are defrauding each other. At church, you know, the person may shake hands of everyone but that person, right? Again, that's a silent dagger. Eventually, it will explode. So I said point number one, the mask heart. Point number two, the crooked mouth. Point number three, the silent dagger. Point number four, the suspicious mind. The suspicious mind. Proverbs 18, look at verse 13. Proverbs 18:13 says this. He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. See, passive aggressive people, they often assume intentions over things like Facebook likes, views, reactions, followers, reaction time, seating choices, tone of attacks, and so on. You know, she liked everyone's post except mine. She must be against me. Now, sometimes it might be true, but oftentimes it is projection, insecurity, or complete guesswork, right? See, this person liked one post from Verity Baptist Church in the past. He must be aiding and comforting Pastor Anderson's enemies. That is a suspicious mind. If you like one post from a church that is not New IFB about people getting saved on a mission trip, people assume you are anti-New IFB. That is a suspicious mind. That's passive aggressiveness. See, he used that verse online. He must be directly aim at me. Well, you know, if the shoes fit, wear it, right? Now I post this online. You know, I said this. If you ever find yourself wondering if the preacher is preaching about you or against you, the answer is yes. Amen. Not because the preacher always has you in mind, but because the Holy Spirit knows exactly what you need. And if a verse someone shares online hits you like it was directly written for you, that's not a coincidence, that is conviction. Because the Word of God never comes back void. Amen. Those people are overly sensitive. They will judge their worth by how many likes they get, right? They assume the worst intention. If they see someone liking things, they may personally disagree. If you don't respond to their message within 10 minutes, they think you secretly hate them. If you read their messages without responding, they just assume that you don't care about them. If I forget to greet someone at the door when he comes to church, he just assumes I'm secretly against him. You know, if someone forgets to text you back, you instantly post something online about why people should be friendly. They live in a world of invented offenses. Invented. Every delay becomes rejection. Every oversight becomes hostility. Every neutral action becomes a personal attack. They read motives they cannot know, and then react to crimes that were never committed. So instead of asking questions, they assume conclusions. Instead of giving grace, they give suspicion. Instead of speaking directly, they post indirectly. And instead of believing the best, they interpret the words. They interpret the worst. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. See, passive-aggressive people, they don't need facts to be offended. They only need feelings. They don't need evidence to be bitter. They only need imagination. Imagination, like SpongeBob, right? They don't need an enemy to fight. They can create one in their own mind. See, you know, I post soul winning results on Facebook and the soul winning group all the time, and not everyone likes them. Do I just assume if you don't like those posts, you are anti-soul winning? Hey, that's petty. My wife really likes any of my posts, even of my food post. Do I just assume she secretly hates me? You know, get a life, right? Do you know what that's called? Evil surmising. Evil surmising is the act of forming negative, malicious assumption or suspicions about others without sufficient evidence. You're in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse number 3. 1 Timothy 6. Look at verse number 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Those people are proud. They know nothing. They invent enemies. Verse number 5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw yourself. Let me give you another example. Maybe a friend texts you, tells you something, and all you respond is okay or a thumb up. Okay? Then your friend just like assumes that you don't care about them because of your short response. See, if you know me, I don't usually send long text messages. Yeah, you probably Elu can testify that. You know, even if my wife texts me, hey, do you know so and so died? My response will be, okay. You know, by the way, don't read into text messages. Text messages don't carry emotions, right? They don't carry facial expressions, tone of voice, and body languages. If you have any questions or doubts, talk to that person. Pick up the phone. Don't just assume the worst intention. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Let me show you how you should approach these situations. 1 Corinthians 13. Look at verse number 4. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. This is a chapter about charity. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. The Bible says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth it not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Don't miss this. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. You need to realize that not everything is about you. Sometimes people are busy. Sometimes people are distracted. Sometimes people are tired. Sometimes people simply forget. Right? And if your heart is always looking for offense, you will eventually find one. If you are always on a witch hunt, eventually you'll become the witch. See, stop making up hidden messages. Stop making enemies out of misunderstandings. stop punishing people, for the intentions that you invented. Right? Look at verse number 6. 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Do you know what this passage is teaching us? Don't assume the worst. If you always assume the worst intention of people, you have no charity. You are puffed up. You are the one who's actually self-absorbed, right? You are a loser, and you are being passive-aggressive. Go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. So I said point number one, the masked heart. Point number two, the crooked mouth. Point number three, the silent dagger. Point number four, the suspicious mind. Point number five, the holy cover-ups. The holy cover-ups. Now, this is the most dangerous kind, especially in the ministry, because passive aggression often hides behind spirituality. In John chapter 12, look at verse number 1. John 12, 1. The Bible says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary upon the ointment, that's perfume, okay, no excess perfume. then took Mary upon the ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. So Jesus took this perfume, took his ointment, and just wiped. This woman just, anointed Jesus' feet with the perfume. Look at verse number 4. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Notice, Judas sounds spiritual. Judas uses religious languages. Judas sounds practical. It sounds financially responsible. It sounds like he actually cares about the poor. Why can't you just sell this, perfume so you can give to the poor? See, if you lack discernment and side with those people who have been marked by the church, you might think Judas was such a caring man. Judas would never do anything wrong. Judas has been following Jesus for 3 years. Judas has been, listening to the New IP preaching online for 15 years. He would never do things like this. Well, never say never, because the other 11 apostles, they did not suspect Judas either. But God reveals his real motive. Look at verse number 6. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. See, passive aggressive people, they will show concern for other people, but they are greedy, right? They show fake characters, but they are full of envy. That's the holy cover-up. They will use religious, spiritual languages. Their bitterness is disguised with discernment. Hey, I'm only telling you this so you can pray about it. I hate to say this, but just fueling all the gossips and rumors, And they are full of pride, but they disguise the pride as conviction. They will say things like, I answer to God, not man. I'm just too real for the fake people. Go to 1 Corinthians 13 again. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13. They are rebellious on the inside, but they will disguise that as spirituality. They will say things like, I only follow Jesus, I don't follow any man. Their envy is disguised as standards. They will say things like, I don't care about so many members. They have a big church because they must be compromised. Some people just know how to market themselves over Instagram reels. Right? Their envy is disguised as standards, fake standards. 1 Corinthians 13, look at verse number 1 again. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 says this. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkly cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. So it doesn't really matter how eloquent of a speaker you are. It doesn't matter if you talk nicely or act nicely. It doesn't matter how spiritual you may sound like. If you don't have real biblical charity, you are nothing. Amen. Right? See, if you always post Bible verses online, but you treat people badly in your personal life, you are nothing. Right. If you serve at this church, but out of envy and arrogance, you are nothing. If you always talk to, you know, if you always talk about how great Israel is, but don't show any love to the lost, you are nothing.
Yeah, right? That's right.
Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Yes. Ephesians chapter number 4. So I said point number one, the mask heart. Point number two, the crooked mouth. Point number three, the silent dagger. Point number four, the suspicious mind. And point number five, the holy cover-up. And I want to finish the sermon with this passage in Ephesians 4, because this chapter is a good chapter on how to avoid passive aggression. Look at verse 25, Ephesians 4, 25. The Bible says this, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." The Bible says we should speak truthfully to each other because we are one body in Christ. Right. Why would you lie to yourself? Right? Look at verse 26. "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." If you're mad at someone, don't sin. Don't say passive aggressive things. If you can't let it go, fix it so you don't give place to the devil, right? Either you let go or you confront that person. Okay, verse 28. "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Lastly, don't use manipulative or rotten speeches." You know, don't use corrupt speeches, corrupt communications, but rather use edifying words, right? Use words that actually build up people. Use gracious and helpful words, because if you don't, you are grieving the Holy Spirit. Look at the next verse. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." So verse 31 sounds like people who are passive aggressive, right? They are full of bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. Now clamor means a great outcry, someone who makes a good deal off of some assumptions, right? Clamor and evil speaking. The Bible says, "Hey, put these away from you." Look at verse 32. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." So it's a great passage on how to deal with passive, aggressive people, right? Is to, you know, speak truthfully, don't lie, and just, you know, use edifying speeches. See, some Christians are too proud to forgive others. They are too cowardly to confront other people. They are too carnal to stay silent, right? And some marriages are cold because nobody speaks plainly. Some friendships die from things that are never addressed. Some churches split from the offenses that are never handled biblically. Some people look peaceful because their war is in their heart. See, you know, I think as a church body, we should put away passive aggression from our lives and learn how to identify those people so you won't be deceived into their wickedness. Mm-hmm. Amen. Let's close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this sermon that you have given me. Well, I pray that we will not allow corrupt communication deceive us and enter into our life. Well, I pray that we'll learn to judge righteously and speak honestly, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, amen. Last song we're going to be singing is song 301. Song 301, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Song 301, Sweet Hour of Prayer, in your hymn books. On the first. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare. By thy return, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wing shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. May I thy consolation share, till from out Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize, and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. All right, everybody, good singing. Brother Bradley, could you please close out in a word of prayer? Amen. You are dismissed.